Here in the U.S. today, Mother's Day is being celebrated with flowers, cards, and long-distance telephone calls. To be a mother means more than washing diapers and dishes, getting the kids to school on time and being late for work yourself, staying up all night with a sick child and getting up early with one who has a game across town. Most mothers know that the ideal mom is as rare as a unicorn. And as NPR's Lynn Neary reports, some members of the newest generation of mothers are determined to tell the truth about the life they have chosen for themselves.
Ariel Gore was 19 and traveling around Europe with her boyfriend when she started throwing up for no reason. It didn't take long for Gore to figure out that her nausea had a cause. She was pregnant. Gore never had any doubts about wanting the child, so she had her baby, a little girl named Maya, in an Italian hospital. Then she moved back to the States to begin her life as a single mom in a California suburb. Gore quickly realized she was not destined to live out an idealized version of motherhood.
Being a teen mom, being a single mom, like, I wasn't gonna fit into whatever our cultural fantasies are about what a mom looks like. So I think I was like, okay, I'm just gonna have to do this my way.
Though people had warned Gore against having a child at her age, saying she would have to give up her education and live in poverty, Gore says no one ever let her in on the biggest secret of all, that motherhood can be lonely. She didn't seem to fit in with the other mothers in her suburban neighborhood, nor with the kids who went to her school. And she couldn't even find anything to read that seemed to reflect her life. Traditional parenting magazines seemed irrelevant, and feminist publications rarely discussed motherhood. So Gore decided to start a magazine and a website that would let moms talk truthfully about their lives. She called it Hip Mama.
Well, hip means aware and informed, so I think it's pretty much self-defined. I guess they get into discussions about this on the web board, but I try not to look because it upsets me. I mean, I was kind of kidding when I named the magazine because I was feeling so hopelessly unhip at the moment.
When she first began the magazine, Gore says she was really just trying to find out if there were other people out there like herself. She discovered a whole lot of other hip mamas were searching for the same thing. Bee Lavender was one of them. A college student and a mother of a toddler, she was dealing with her own problems at the time.
One of my faculty members at college told me that it was anti-feminist to have a kid. So there was like a definite sort of judgmental process that I was dealing with in my local community. And I stopped for coffee one day and I saw the very first issue of Hip Mama, and it was just this amazing thing. It was, you know, it was like a message in a bottle. It was just like this almost cosmic experience for me to find people who were doing the same things, who were honest but also hopeful and defiant.
Soon, Lavender was editing the web version of Hip Mama. It began attracting all kinds of women, married, single, straight, gay, some old, and a lot young, like Allison Cruz, who had her baby at the age of 15.
Many of us have had the experience of being marginalized because of our roles as mothers and how we decide to parent and how we decide to live and the choices that we've made. And I think that all of us have things we need to say, and we're getting those things heard.
Now the editors of Hip Mama have compiled some of the stories of these women in a new book called Breeders, a pejorative term they've decided to reclaim. Some of these tales of motherhood are timeless, while others are rooted firmly in the new millennium, the century that belongs to their children. In a story called When I Was Garbage, Allison Cruz writes of her decision to keep the child everyone thought she should give up for adoption.
I checked the machines he was hooked up to, making sure his oxygen saturation levels and heart and breathing rates were all what the nurses expected them to be. They were. I padded back down the hallway into my room, rubbing my soft, wrinkled tummy, and pulled out my new breast pump. I pumped and pumped, watched TV, and imagined that it was my tiny baby extracting milk from my breast. I had an abundance of precious golden milk that only a mother could make. I was a mother.
In Becoming a Mother, Yantra Bertelli, a gay mom of a little girl, describes the painful love she feels for her partner's son.
His eyes glisten for her, and I search for a sign of dullness when we stand face to face. Every pore of my body rages for him. My fire does not fade. My gut pangs for a glimmer of his affection. I loathe my sunken heart and my inability to love and anticipate nothing in return. I have searched for selflessness and continue to collide with tears. Am I just a temporary fix, a decent substitute?
And in Neonatal Sweet Potato, A.N. Halliday captures the otherworldly feel on a neonatal intensive care unit.
Other mothers glide into the intensive care unit, rubbing their eyes. We don't speak. We sit in rockers, the shyer ones behind screens. We smile blissed out zombie smiles when the nurses deposit the swaddled packages in our arms. We make up nicknames for our babies, murmur encouragements in the hopes that they will eat up, that things will improve and we can go home. It hurts at first, but it's good, those little gums clamping onto our defenseless nipples. What does it feel like? It feels like packing a snowball with your bare hands.
If there is a theme that cuts across the stories in Breeders, it is the desire of these women to assert their right to motherhood. Yet, says Yantra Bertelli, they don't believe that means a mother has to postpone her own happiness until the children are raised.
I really feel like in order to give my children the love that I need to give them, that I need to take care of myself first. And I think that that's a different idea than what I've been fed. And, you know, we want to rewrite what motherhood's about.
In other words, as Ariel Gore would put it, the days of the martyr mom are over. Lynn Neary, NPR News, Washington.